Hi, everybody. Welcome to the final Coaches Club call for the 2013-2014 school year. It is May 22nd, Thursday at 1 o'clock. And today we're going to talk about tone of the home, which is, you know, I always say it's my favorite topic, but this is one of my favorite really coachy concepts that we're going to address a little bit today. So let's start with check-ins. We started talking a little bit, but anything anybody wants to share from our last couple of conversations about how things are going, good or bad, struggle or not, or success? Anything anybody wants to get into?
I have a kind of an aha moment. This is Christy. With Caleb this week, his emotionality and intensity is the thing I've been dealing with most, and he had a little incident this week with his baseball bat. His sister accidentally dropped it, and it got a crack in it. And it's not his bat he actually uses in the games. It's just an extra bat, and so he's losing it over this bat, and my husband's trying to convince him that it's not a big deal because it's not the bat he uses anyway. And he's on the verge of really losing it. And so I'm like, are you feeling really sad about this bat? And I could just see his whole demeanor change. He was just like, yes, I am. I'm really sad about that. So it was just that one little question and naming his feeling for him and just trying to – he usually is not easy to calm down. So that I saw a quick change in his demeanor was like, thank you, God. It was just a good moment for me.
Wow. Not just naming it, but acknowledging his experience and making it be about him, right? I was on the phone with some clients this morning, and that's sort of what we were talking about. What came to me was the sense that when our kids sort of lose it, it's like they're overwhelmed by a tsunami of emotion. And if we go there with them, or we try to talk them out of it, they're not in a rational space to be talked out of it. It's not a rational situation, right? In fact, we know their brain is a different part of the brain is operating, and you know they're in amygdala hijack, and nothing we say or do is going to really make a difference until we help them get out of that trigger cycle. So, way to go for acknowledging him and helping him find his way out.
Yeah,
that's so cool. So, hi Cheryl, welcome.
Hi.
So we were just doing some check-ins. Anything you have to report or anything going on with you this week? Or any successes? Successes or struggles is today's question to open the call.
Well, I think I had a success with my daughter just a couple of days ago. She had a really bad day at school. And kind of got in trouble for, you know, calling this other kid stupid and not being really disruptive, but I don't know. Her teacher said she was just really kind of out of it or off and not following along and like she normally does. And I think I would have been upset in the past and tried to really blame her for being bad behavior and all, but this time I just talked with her calmly, maybe kind of what you were just saying with the other person, and got her side of the story so that I could, and I tell her this, you know, give me your side of the story so I can stick up for you if I need to, you know, and I could report back to the teacher, and I did, and it all worked out. The other kid actually had his part to play in it too that they didn't realize. And the next day she was fine. She'd had a shot, I think, two shots at the doctor that really threw her off.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, it was just a bad day. So
well,
I felt like I could advocate for her.
That's
what?
Awesome. So not only were you advocating for her, but you were also, she was feeling really heard and acknowledged. And instead of getting mad, you let her sort of be able to express what was going on for her. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So
yeah.
I like this. I like the trend, other celebrations. Rebecca or Joelle? Because that was Christy before I said it wrong, but other celebrations.
I've been working on getting Cade to come to me in the playroom. And so I came up with a visual signal, in addition to saying his name, a visual signal that I do, basically pointing to my eyes. That means he has to come and look at me and hear me. Mm-hmm. And he's been pretty good about it, better than in the past. So having the expectation really clear and a visual signal in addition to the words seems to help.
Awesome.
Redirect it.
And did you two work together to come up with the visual signal, or did you tell him what it was going to be?
Not really. He isn't really, you know, he just, I think when I did it, we were already in the playroom, and he just wanted to go, so
yeah.
He wasn't really wanting to discuss it.
Yeah, we like to process, they don't. Cool. Anybody else? Rebecca, you got one?
Well, we did, go off the medicine for my son, and I think the school is, of course, in mode as well, but I have to believe that if his behavior was really, really awful, someone would have sent me an email somewhere along the line, and unfortunately, I sent an email to his main teacher and had told her that we were doing this test, and she never wrote back. I don't know if she didn't get the email or what happened, but I do want to circle back and revisit it with everybody. But I guess the good news is, and I have been talking to my son about it. We haven't kind of done a full recap at the end, but I suspect his behavior is not as maybe cooperative or good or whatever as it might have been on the medicine, but at least he is, you know, he recognizes that he has to perhaps work harder if he's not taking it. I think he kind of got that.
Wow.
So
rather than the desired outcome being we want to convince him that he needs meds, what did he actually learn?
Well, he actually learned that he has control over his behavior.
Right.
Now, again, I don't know how much control there is, and I don't know if they're just more lax at the end of the school year, and they're like, yeah, whatever, it's just Elon, and, you know, I'm kind of curious to see where we're at. But in this case, I thought, well, no news is good news, because if he was just completely psycho, they would have let me know that.
Yeah, you can count on that.
Yeah.
You can definitely count
on that. I only got one email, so...
And so what I hear in it that I love is not only does he recognize that you know, he can control and do you see that he can do it more, but that there's a part of what he's learning that it's really up to him, you know, whether he whether he supports himself through medication or through, you know, conscious management or whatever, that it's becoming his responsibility.
Yep.
To, you know, behave or perform or... Right. And
right.
That's huge.
Not interrupt.
Right. If you figure out how to get him to not interrupt, would you send him to my house?
Sure.
Oh, God. We live in an interrupt-driven house, literally. So I want to share a success, too. Because I've actually had a really hard week with my 13-year-old. I don't know if I told you all this. I guess it was after I talked to you all last time. I got totally sideswiped when I got to school, like broadsided. I got into what I thought was a one thing when I got to the end of school meeting, and it was, you know, you walk in and there's the principal and the teachers and the learning specialist, like, oh, okay. And they proceed to tell me that he is falling apart and how bad things are. And, you know, and I kept my celebration is that I really kept my cool because I really wanted to blow up and handled it well enough to get to the point that, in fact, he's not falling apart. He's just not quite performing the way they want him to perform. And when they said, we don't really know why, and I looked at him and I said, let's be really clear. We absolutely know why this is happening. And the teacher was like, he's really inconsistent. It's so frustrating. And I said, yes, he is very inconsistent. That's part of the nature of the diagnosis. So I was really calm as I was having these conversations, and I just kept bringing it back to the process, to like, what are we going to do? What's the system? Instead of the, well, he hasn't done this and hasn't done this, I kept bringing it back to, you know, what are we trying to get him to learn in terms of the organization process? So I was really proud of myself because it was frustrating. And the saga continued.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. So let's take aim this week on our final week of this school year. And see what you want to focus on as you're looking into the summer. And, you know, feel free to invite today's topic because I think it lends itself well to planning, looking forward for the summer. And we'll talk more about tone of the home in a little bit. But what do you want to focus on to sort of take you into the summer? And I'll tell you all a little bit about our summer program and our plans. But what do you want to focus on?
Okay, I'll start. Well, I guess since the theme is tone of the home, I would like to be able to get through the bedtime dinner routine without losing it.
Okay.
You know, I think I keep it together until my husband comes home, and then it's sort of, I use it as a signal to relax. get irritated more quickly, and then he sort of feeds off my tone, and I keep telling him, I need you to pick up where I left off. You be the happy, calm one now. But I don't know. I would like to be the happy, calm one the whole night.
So you want to make it through dinner calmly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Pre-dinner.
All right.
Actually, pre-dinner.
So I just have to share with you what just came up as you said that. I was thinking, you said, you know, you wait till he comes home, and then it's like you let it go, which is just what our kids
mm-hmm.
do when they get out of school, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hold it together all day, and then they come home from school, and they lose it.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it's very much the same kind of behavior, right? Or the same dynamic. So...
Totally.
Maybe the simple message to you is to have your school day end a little bit later, right?
Right. School's not over.
Have it end after dinner instead of before, but we'll come back to it.
Right.
So, okay. Who else? What else do you want to target this week? Christy?
I really like this topic because I feel like we struggle in this a lot by letting Caleb set the tone. And so I like how it talks about it. It's our job to set the tone. And I think even just my tone of voice be a big change too. Because even I'm probably having much more of a judgmental tone of voice than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to change that.
So you want to focus on how you're setting the tone.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Love it.
This is not very. Well, I don't know how you're going to turn this around, but because I know you're going to like
spin this one.
No, you need to. You're going to spin this. I know. Hey, my husband is very, like, the first time he asks my son to do something, it's, like, completely, like, negative and barking and just, you know, anger and all the mean stuff, which pushes my buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about my son. I mean, I don't think he loves it, but I don't know if my son I'm, like, cringing and I'm, like, glaring at my husband, you know, like, really, like, cool it. Like, just ask him to do it. Like, it's the first time he's asked him to something and it's already coming out, you know, as though it was, like, the tense. So,
mm-hmm.
I have talked to my husband about it, but I would like to talk about it some more in a way that would be productive. So I feel like it's not really fair for me to say that my husband should change because I should look at myself, perhaps.
Perhaps. But so what is it that you want to see changed in the home?
I want the tone to be changed.
And what do you want it to be?
More a sense of cooperation, I guess. Like hopefulness that, like, if you do ask him to do something, he will do it.
Okay.
And, like, not to assume that, like, that it's going to be a battle. I honestly don't
positive intent is what I'm hearing.
Yes. I guess so. I honestly think that sometimes my husband is probably, I think he's in a lot of, you know, chronic pain, and I think that's why he's so barky in general. So
mm-hmm.
I think that has kind of changed his demeanor over time.
I'm hearing is that you want sort of an atmosphere of teamwork at home.
Yes.
Like we're all in this together kind of thing.
Right.
Okay. All right, let's see what comes up. And Cheryl, what about you?
I'm not sure. I guess definitely would like the tone of or the summer to be relaxing and, you know, calm, enjoyable. But I was also thinking about dinner time that my daughter, she hardly ever eats at dinner time and she won't sit, you know. So I did put some things in place. I actually had a poster. I have a poster, you know, use a napkin, use your silverware. You have to stay here for 15 minutes, but she'll eat before, like at 4:30, even though I say, look, we're eating dinner in an hour, don't eat. But she eats, and then she eats again at 8:30, or so she never really eats with us. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't care, but it bugs me, I guess.
So what you're wanting a family dinner.
Yes, and we actually have that structure in place really well. Like, we always do sit down together and eat. But, you know, a lot of it's telling the kids to sit down and stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like you've got the structure, but you want to – so what do you want to change at family dinners?
I would like her to eat what I've prepared and sit for, you know, stay for 15 minutes.
Without having to be reminded.
Yes.
Okay. Is it a reasonable expectation?
I think so.
Have you set that expectation before?
Yeah, we've had this in place for years, yeah. And I used to say 8 minutes, but I did up it because they're older now.
Mhm. Okay. So, so did they used to be able to sit at the table for 8 minutes and have dinner and eat together?
They've never been good at it.
Okay, so it's always, so you've got a structure, but it's always been a challenge.
Yes.
So is it possible that the structure needs to get modified?
That's maybe, but I don't know what to do about that.
Okay, well, let's not figure out how. I'm just trying to figure out where the focus is. Is the focus on The system, or is the focus on, like, you know, is what you're trying to achieve family time, or are you trying to achieve sit down together to have dinner?
I think both.
If you had to choose one, which would it be?
I guess family time.
Okay. So the goal here is that family dinner becomes family time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's start with that and sort of see how it evolves for you. But I just want to sort of point out to everybody that I'm sort of pushing a little, because sometimes we really want to get clear on what's the goal. What are we trying to see? What's the change we're looking for? Rather than just focusing on the complaint. The complaint is that the kids are up and walking around not sitting down. The complaint is your husband's barking. The complaint is that I'm losing it at dinner, right? But what are you looking to achieve? That vision or dream is what will help you begin to address the problem. Because when all you're looking at is the complaint, that's when we get stuck in the how. And with the vision, we can begin to create something new. So just a moment of, you know, that value of really getting clear on what you're taking aim on and what the vision is you're trying to create. So today's topic is about tone in the home. And I'm actually going to ask everybody to pull out a piece of paper. I should have sent this to you in advance, but I didn't. So does everybody have paper or pen nearby?
Yes.
Or anybody not?
On it.
Okay. Take a minute. Take out a piece of paper and a pen and just draw a big circle on the piece of paper. And now tell me when you're ready.
Okay. Ready.
Okay. Everybody ready? Joelle?
Yes, I'm ready.
Yep.
So on this, you've got a circle on a piece of paper. Draw four lines, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in the middle of it so it looks like a pie thing from Trivial Pursuit game, right? So you have 8 sections. And we're going to do, this is sort of a variation of a coaching tool called the Wheel of Life that I've created. It's called the Tone of the Home Wheel of Life. And in each category, I'm going to just write down in each of the circles or outside of it, these categories. One box is spirituality. One is noise level. One is emotionality or emotional intensity. The next one is physicality or sort of, you know, physical connection, touching. Next one is sense of teamwork. Time spent. Visual or aesthetic. And the last one is shared responsibility.
What was the visual one?
It's either visual or, for some people, you know, like an aesthetic sense. Like, what's the environment look like? Clean, cluttered, you know, neat, messy. So what I want you to do, so let me just talk for a moment about tone of the home. Tone of the home shows up in lots of ways. It's about, it's sort of like the energy of a home, right? What's happening? How do you feel? You know, Maya Angelou says people won't remember what you do or say, but they remember how you make them feel. So what's the tone of the home that we're trying to create? It's about how people feel when they're there and when they leave there. I have a home that's fairly cluttered, but people walk into my house and they say it feels comfortable, right? It feels lived in. So it's a little cluttered, but not too cluttered for them, maybe for me, but, you know. But there's sort of an energy about it. Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can be intentional about the tone that we're creating. And part of it is, as I think it was Christy or Joelle said earlier, part of it is about tone of voice. Christy was saying it. You know, it's that voice or tone or expression, how we say things. That's part of the tone that we create. But it really comes, all of these pieces come into play when we look at the tone of the home. So, you know, do we bring a spirituality, whether it's God or universe, whatever it is to you, to your, to the family, to the community of the family, right? Is it a loud house? Is it a quiet house? Is there lots of screaming and yelling and laughing and giggling? Or is it a relatively, you know, is there not a lot of emotional connection? Is physicality, it could be, my house, there's the kids wrestle a lot. There's a lot of rolling around on the floor and, you know, rolling around with the dog and that kind of thing. Teamwork is sort of what Rebecca was talking about earlier, is, you know, sort of wanting to feel like we're all in this together. Time spent, do we spend time together as a family or not, or to what extent do we? Visual aesthetics, some of us are more concerned with how things look than others, and if it doesn't look a certain way, it can be distressing to us, right? And shared responsibility is sort of teamwork. Part of teamwork is like, is everybody doing their share? Their, you know, is everybody pitching in and participating? So, and all of these pieces make up the tone of the home. So what I want everybody to do for a minute is just identify your level of satisfaction with each of these areas for your family, of what, how you feel about the tone of your home right now. And it's going to be different today than it would be yesterday or tomorrow. It's okay. And it's just a gauge. It's nothing, nothing concrete here. But so 0 is at the center, 10 is at the outside. You know, a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is best and 0 is worse. What's your level of satisfaction for each of these areas of the tone of the home? Just take a minute and let me know when you're done.
What's the difference between sense of teamwork and shared responsibility?
Shared responsibility is really more the, you know, division of labor, and teamwork is more, do we feel like we're, you know, we're supporting each other, or we're encouraging each other?
Uh-huh.
My kids are not so good with shared responsibility, but they're great at teamwork, at a sense of,
okay,
like, they're for each other.
Uh-huh.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Yep, ready.
Okay. So first question I have is, what do you notice? Like, what comes up as you're looking at these? Were there any surprises, good or bad?
I was surprised there was a lot that I was happy with, and then the ones that I'm not are pretty glaring.
Okay, just what are the ones that you're struggling with?
I think noise level and emotional intensity.
Okay. And the rest of them?
The rest of them are pretty good. You know, for the shared responsibility, I give it a high husband because my husband and I share responsibility.
Right.
But if I'm involving the kids, the score would go down because
yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So helpful quite yet. They're young.
But so this really lets you target in on where the tone of the home is really sort of agitating for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. Okay. Anybody else? What did you notice? Is this useful for you guys?
I think it pointed out what I already knew, but it for the negative parts, my lowest ones were visual, aesthetic, and shared responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the other ones, like when I first thought about spirituality or time spent, even though I always wonder, do we spend enough time together? I kind of let myself off the hook, and I'm like, we are. Like, I may have a vision of what it could have, would have, should have been, but, you know, I was like, you know what, it's acceptable. I'm not unhappy
right.
with it. And I, you know, just kind of, that part is helpful.
That's great. So some success in recognizing that you're more satisfied in some areas than you thought you were.
Right.
Yeah, good. Anybody else?
I think for me, I am pretty satisfied with quite a few, but the shared responsibility is probably what is the worst for me now, because I feel like we have a lot of structures in place, but if I wasn't here, nobody else would follow them. My non-ADHD kid would probably, he would, but the other two would not
mm-hmm.
at all.
That's true. That's true. So how much are the structures in place for them, and how much are they in place for you?
Well, I'm very invested in it, or invested, or whatever the term is, because I think it benefits them, or certainly my daughter, until she's older,
right.
and if she wants to be, you know, disorganized and all that, she can.
So some of it is that, you know, you're probably right, Cheryl, that if you walked out the door tomorrow, the systems would not persist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the reason that you do them is because you like the system and structure. And part of it is because you know that your daughter needs to learn how, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if shared responsibility continues to be a struggle area, part of that challenge is that's not how your husband approaches things, right?
Right.
Right, and I know that's true for other people on the call as well. But, I mean, this is it's a common issue when our spouse also has ADD or struggles with a lot of the issues that our kids struggle with, right, or just approach the world in a different way. So part of it is about putting the systems in place to help keep the family going, and part of it is about looking at what are realistic expectations, not only for our kids, but also for our spouses.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had a program for the spouses.
We've been talking about it. We'll get there. We just haven't gotten there yet. There are some good ones out there already. Melissa Orloff has one that's pretty good for couples. You know, the challenge with the couples is that, you know, you guys have learned nothing else. You've learned you can't make anybody else change, right? The only way the change is going to happen for someone else is if they decide, they see what's going on, and they set the intention to make the change. And we can't force them to do that. And that's a struggle. So you can't get them to manage their ADD or whatever it is if they're not choosing to necessarily. But you can look at that sense of teamwork and get clear on what you're asking for and set the expectation for them to try to fulfill, you know, try to get them motivated from a different way. So the motivation for your spouse may not be to use the systems, but he might be motivated because it makes you happy to have a family dinner. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So just like with our kids, we have to look at the different motivations for our spouses as well. So anybody, somebody else didn't get a chance to say something. Is it Joelle?
No, I talked already.
So Christy?
Me, Christy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my lowest is similar, share responsibility and emotionality. Those are my two lowest. I wasn't surprised.
So what was higher that did surprise you? Or was pleasant to see?
I don't feel like I was really surprised.
Okay.
And my scores are all very close, actually. Like, the lowest I gave was a 5, and the highest I gave was an 8. My range was close together.
So, and one of the things to look at here, thank you for pointing that out, is that when we're looking at something like this, sometimes it's not about what's the perfect 10, but if we're at a 5, what would a 6 look like? Right? So what I'd like each of you to do is to choose one area that you want to focus on. And it does not have to be the worst, right? That's our tendency to say, oh, well, that's a 2, so I'm going to go there. But any area that you'd like to focus on. And just take a minute for yourself and write down one thing that would make it 1 point higher. One slight change that would really make a little difference. And let me ask a different way this way. Did anybody choose emotionality this time?
Yes.
Okay. So what's one thing you could see that would make emotionality a point higher in your family? Or lower, as the case may be.
One thing that would make it higher would be, I think if I could just not react, especially at the trigger time of day in the evening that
okay.
I was talking about earlier.
So,
yeah. And I get triggered, obviously, you know, oddly enough, by the noise level a lot of times at that time of day.
Right.
Just so.
Do you ever try
out
earplugs?
Of arguing in there. No. Yeah, no, noise is a real button right now because of my 3-year-old's antics.
Mm-hmm.
She makes odd noises and he screams.
Right.
Bad combo. And then I scream. Great.
Yeah, then, right.
So, yeah.
Figures three. So, and I'm not really kidding about the earplugs. It may be that might help you.
It may help.
Some
true.
I'm really not kidding. But so what I'm hearing you saying is that you would like to respond more than you react.
Yes.
Okay. And if you were to be responding versus reacting, what could that look like? You just choose one situation.
Well, one situation we have that is a real trigger for both my husband and I, we live in a New York City apartment, so our kitchen's small. You know, it's small for the two of us to be in there, and it's claustrophobic and maddening to have a child in there because things are hot, and they're under our feet, and they open the fridge, and you can't open the fridge and the dishwasher at the same time. You know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
It's like instantly we both, our hair just goes on end. So, yeah, we try a couple times to tell them to get out of the kitchen, to get out of the kitchen. They don't, and we yell at them usually. So,
okay.
Responding to that, I don't know. I mean, I could put them in the room, I guess, for timeout or something.
So, but what I'm hearing is really it, the trigger is the space is too small. They really need to not be in the kitchen.
Yes.
Okay. Any way to gate it?
We don't have a gate. We get rid of all our baby gates when we moved here. It has a door, but if you shut it, then we'll suffocate. And they can open it. It doesn't have a lock or anything.
Right.
So I guess we could get a baby gate. I don't know where to put it, though, is the problem.
Well, but it sounds like the focus rather than, I mean, yes, you want to comment the way you respond, but it sounds like the focus is to, that's a trigger to pull back on. Like, how do you eliminate that trigger? Right?
Right.
And it's a very legitimate trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than every night the same thing, get out of the kitchen, get out of the kitchen, what systems can you put in place? What conversations can you have at a separate time? What if you take aim on keeping them out of the kitchen while you're making dinner?
We could do that. I think if we took aim on it and talked about it beforehand and set up the expectation and even like a reward system or something, I think it could work.
Right. So, in fact, you started off saying it's you're responsive. You want to respond, not react.
Mm-hmm.
But the place to take aim is actually what the trigger is in the first place, in this case.
Right.
Right?
Right. And with the noise thing, just get your plugs and ignore them, maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to make noise, so...
Yeah.
If that really triggers you, what can you do to limit your tendency to react?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Maybe it's playing
your plugs in a glass of wine.
Yeah, right. There you go. But maybe it's listening to music. My husband listens to music when he makes to NPR when he makes dinner on earplugs, on earphones.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody else? So that was emotionality. Anybody else choose teamwork? So what else did you choose?
Shared responsibility.
Okay, and what was the one thing that would make it one step better?
For both my husband and I to make a commitment to spend time working on the house, putting things away, or it's too
and
big.
And when do you want that to happen?
Every day.
Okay. How much time every day?
At least 15 minutes a day.
Okay. What if you said 10?
Would
what
that if
you
said 10?
What if you had 10 or 5?
I mean, in reality, I would accept anything. The reality of getting much done in 5 minutes is kind of hard, but yes, I would be willing to start with 5.
Right, and I'm not negotiating down for that purpose. What I want you to see is that it's the intention of doing it at all that really matters to you.
Right. No, that's true.
Is it about, yeah, we're going to do this together, or is it about what we really get done?
Right. It's about doing it together.
Okay. So, and just, I don't know if I've shared this with you all before. In our family, we call it mise en place.
Uh-huh.
And when I call mise en place, the timer is set, and everybody, including the kids, everybody has to just sort of walk around and see what needs to be put in its place.
Uh-huh.
Everything in its place. And, yes, they slack off. And, yes, I have to remind them and all of that. But it's just everybody knows.
Habit.
When we call mise en place, it's everybody's job.
Uh-huh.
And we put on music and try to make it fun. But it's, you know, it can't be too long.
Right.
The idea right now is that you will feel better if you have a sense that you're not the only one.
Right.
So where do you want to take aim?
I would like to try that. My husband is it would do it. My son is still like, why do I have to do this?
Okay.
And maybe the teamwork, maybe his sense of teamwork is not very good.
Yeah. So that may be a place to focus on what are we, how do we foster our sense of team to family in order to get that other shared responsibility to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So the place to look there is to really get clear on where you're taking aim.
Yeah.
Like, if it's shared responsibility, what is it you really want? You really just want people to feel like people are participating and doing something.
Right.
If that's going to be a hard thing for mom, then what, you know, go there. What does it take to foster that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. I like the idea.
Anybody else? What else did you choose?
I chose time spent.
You chose time spent. Okay, and what's the change you're looking for?
Well, I'm just ready for vacation. So we've just had a busy season, and I'm ready to slow down. And we've been working on planning our vacation. And so even the planning part of vacation is fun for me. I like to be dreaming about what we're going to do and plan and all that, and the kids get excited. And so it's not just the week we'll be gone. It's all the stuff leading up to it, too, because we'll spend time together thinking about what we want to do.
So how do you want to implement that? So what does that look like now before vacation?
Well, like we already started, really, and the kids have, you know, helped me look online. We've found the place where we're going to stay, and they've seen pictures of it. And so just kind of actually continuing what we're doing, but we'll have a little more time to do it when, like, baseball season's almost over. I'm ready for it to be over.
Yeah. Here it is.
Things that are consuming our time, I'm ready for those things to end.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything you need to do in the interim to make it through to when they end?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm just in survival. Okay. You know, I can see the end of the tunnel. It's coming. Let's just get there. That's kind of how I feel right now. And
so
it's harder on my husband.
Can I
coaches and
just offer something to you that if you have a good sense of your sense of teamwork, and part of what's consuming the family time right now is your kids' participation in other activities, then maybe connecting to that value around the teamwork may help you ride it through without so much stress.
Can you give me practically an idea? I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, right now baseball is dreaded and annoying almost, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Right. Does everybody go to his games?
As long as my daughter doesn't have a volleyball game the same night. Like
if
they don't both have an activity, yes, we all go.
Right. Okay. So
we have to divide.
You know, right. Get it. So I guess what I'm saying in sense of teamwork is, you know, being really tying into the value of that, the excitement of, you know, supporting each other, cheerleading each other, becoming the biggest fan kind of thing instead of, oh, God, I got to go to a game. Like connecting to what it is that you love about it, like what it offers your family by supporting each other's, the kids' team.
Yeah, and when we did that last night, like he had practice, so me and my daughter both wanted to hang out at practice and watch and be there. So
yeah.
It's our turn to do. So that's good.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Cheryl, did we cover you? We have one more.
Yeah, I was saying shared responsibility.
And what does that look like? One step closer would look like what?
I'm not sure. because I guess either the kids kind of doing some of their chores without having to be asked, or my husband actually, you know, participating, but that might be too, or doing,
so,
like sharing some of the responsibility, but that might be too
get
much.
Get specific. Get specific. What's one thing you want him to do or one thing you want them to do without being asked?
Oh, my kids, or?
Choose one.
I don't know. I don't see either one of them happening, so.
So the question is, the easier what?
The easier one would probably be my kids.
What's one thing that you'd like them to do that you think they're ready to do?
I don't know.
Okay. So that's a place for you to look, Cheryl, is to try to get more specific. Rather than sticking with the complaint of it's not how I want it, to try to identify what it would look like if you had what you wanted, and do it in incremental steps, right? The baby steps. What's one thing? If my son would brush his teeth without me having to check on him, that would be great, right? If my daughter would come home and just unpack her lunchbox, that would be great. Whatever the one thing is, that, you know, the tone of the home changes and your feelings and energy around it change in little steps. Little things make the difference between whether it's a 2 today or a 5 tomorrow. So if we look to the little changes, and as I came up with a couple of examples, look to some of the areas that are doing well. The solutions are always in the successes, right? So if shared responsibility is a challenge, but teamwork is a success, then what's working with the teamwork and how can you apply it, right? And so that's the place that I would just sort of point you to look at is to try to identify the change you're seeking and look for ways in which you've seen it work in other areas and try to apply it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of opening it up for everybody as we look at this sort of the conversation about time at home and this wheel of life. What's your clarity from today? What do you feel like you focused on? What's your clarity? What's the bottom line of it? What's your takeaway?
I think my takeaway is doing things, like you said, wearing earplugs or just putting up a gate to take away the triggers instead of, you know, digging deep to not let the triggers affect me, just getting rid of the triggers completely.
Ooh.
I think that could work.
Yeah, minimizing the willpower fatigue.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
I like the way you presented it to say, like, what would make it go up just one point, because it
mm-hmm.
kind of takes the pressure off of how to fix everything now.
Right. Yeah.
I like, because it's, and it kind of, it just takes the edge off of, like when you first wrote it down, it felt like a test, but then when
mm-hmm.
you said, like an evaluation, and but then it was like, what would make it up go one point? And it helps you say, okay, what's one thing? And it kind of gives it a numerical value. And it's not, because you could say the same verbiage, but it's like, I like that you hooked it to improving the score. Like, there's a point to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the point is not just to be static with it. Yes, thank you. But that you can change it. it's in your power to change, right?
Right.
But as you say, you can't change it all at one time. And it's not like we ever expect everything to all be a perfect 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Who else? What's your clarity?
This is Christy. Mine is real similar to, I'm not sure who that was that just spoke, but just set, my job is to set the tone of the home. And so how can I improve the tone of my home right now just by 1 point? Like she said, I don't have to fix every category. What can I do to improve the tone of my home by 1 point?
Great.
I like the simplicity of that.
Yeah. So what do you want to commit to?
You talking to me or the whole group?
Yeah, you, but or anybody.
I really, like, at the beginning, what I wanted to take aim on was my tone of voice, and so I really want to commit to working on my tone of voice.
Okay.
And with everybody, not just with Caleb, but my tone of voice overall in the home.
So can I just offer one little tidbit for you with that?
Of course, please.
Is pay attention to noticing triggers when you get triggered.
Okay.
Pay attention to that first step that you stop the cycle before it starts, right? If you recognize that you're starting to get agitated or irked, take the deep breath before you respond.
Okay.
Anybody else? Any other actions or commitments you want to make? Okay. So, now I'm going to ask you one more time. No commitments moving into the summer? What do you want to commit to? What do you want to hold for yourself in terms of the tone of your home this summer?
I am going to speak to my husband about the division of labor, and I like the idea of the mise en place and to start doing that.
Yep, and just a reminder, keep it simple.
Right.
Okay, cool. So, Rebecca, your conversation and beginning to look in terms of shared responsibility, and just remember to look to the teamwork in that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Christy, sort of managing your own tone. Cheryl or Joelle, what about y'all? What do you want to commit to this one?
I guess embracing the chaos a little bit and finding ways to tune it out, I guess. Because we've used TV a lot to get rid of the chaos, and we've tried to stop doing that, but we haven't managed how to stay calm through it all. So we have to find a balance where we'll accept it and tune it out when we need to.
So embrace the chaos.
Embrace it, yep.
Yep. Laugh. My solution to that, just so you know, is just to laugh whenever it starts feeling crazy. I just start laughing out loud.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, anything for you?
Well, I was wanting to have a relaxed summer.
Good. So really focusing on letting go of some of the expectations and just enjoying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. So that's actually a great tie-in. I want to, before we close, I just want to let everybody know I've talked to some of you individually so far with the laser calls, but we are going to be doing a summer program this summer, a very sort of light touch summer program. And the two things that I want you to know about it, we're negotiating on names. Diane and I keep going back and forth on names, so we haven't done anything because I can't decide how to name it. I want to call it Vacation Survival Camp for Parents. And we're also talking about Simple Summer Survival, Escape the Chaos. So any votes for either of those, I would appreciate your.
Say it again.
The first one was Vacation Survival Camp for Parents, and the second is Simple Summer Survival, Escape the Chaos.
Oh, I think they might need to be shortened a little bit.
I agree. I was going to say just Summer Survival.
Summer Survival. Right. Yeah, well, that keeps it simple. So whatever we call it, thank you for the input. Basically, it's going to be 8 weeks of sort of our Monday morning emails where we will send you self-care tips throughout the summer, things for you to do to pay attention to and take care of yourself. And we'll have three group calls, and we'll send you some special webinars and just some various special goodies throughout the summer to keep you focused on taking care of yourself and keeping things relaxed and cool and peaceful in the summer. And the price point is going to be really low. It'll probably be $97. And then any of you who choose to join us again in the fall can use that, whatever you pay for the summer program, as a deposit, as a discount on the whatever fall program you choose to do in the fall. So so really, if you decide you're going to join us again in the fall, then your summer program is free. And we definitely, and we'll talk to each of you individually as you want to, but we definitely encourage you to continue with us with PSS in the fall. We're going to use some of the same coaching tips. We'll change some of them. We're going to reorganize the structure of it a little bit and beef it up in some areas. But as you know, what you're focusing on, the opportunity to take aim and to really pay attention every couple of weeks to what's going on in your house is really the benefit of the program. So we thought about, I think I mentioned this to you, we thought about should we, you know, do something for people who have already been in it or not. And what we really decided is that we all benefit from the conversations and the coaching and the focus on what's going on with our families and ourselves and our kids. So we're going to beef up the program, but largely keep the structure the same, and then see where that goes. In a couple of years, we'll probably add, you know, an advanced course or something. But right now, I think we're all still in the same place. So that's the plan. Any questions?
Have you picked the dates yet?
For
the calls.
For the summer calls or the fall?
Yeah, the summer.
No, we haven't. We'll have them in a couple. We'll have them by the beginning of June.
Okay.
There'll be one late June, one mid July, and one early August.
Okay.
More than likely, and you know they'll be recorded and all that.
Right.
But the focus of the summer really is on you guys, is on us as adults and parents, and a little less focus on the kids, and a little bit more on what do we need to do to take care of ourselves so that we can be the best we want to be for our kids,
mm-hmm.
which we never have time to do during the school year, so we're hoping we'll have time to do it in the summer, right? So any other questions or comments before we sign off for today? So I want to thank you all for your consistency and your presence and your commitment to the process. It has been a truly an amazing year and a great privilege and pleasure to share this journey with you guys and to be part of this whole larger picture that we're all doing of trying to make our families dynamic and the tone of the home and our family, that larger issue. What we want for ourselves, what we want for our kids, and ultimately what will enable our kids to grow up to be the most the incredible, phenomenal, successful adults that we know that they can be. So thanks for inviting me into your journey, and Diane and me. And I hope that we will be in touch with all of you this summer and that we will see you all in the fall.
Great. Thank you,
Elaine.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Bye, everyone. Have a good time.
Bye.
I'll miss you.
Bye.